Rhea is invented. What Rhea describes is not. It is happening across West Midlands right now. This is their story. In Coventry South, qualified graduates who want to teach history cannot access the training programmes that would put them in front of students who need them. The problem isn't a shortage of people or a lack of demand. It's a system that treats teacher training as though the government must hunt for coins under the sofa before it can educate the next generation.
I knew I wanted to teach from the moment Mrs. Patterson made the English Civil War feel like it was happening in our classroom. I was 14, sitting in a stuffy room in Coventry on a Tuesday afternoon, but she had us debating whether to side with Parliament or the King as though we were there in 1642. That's what good teaching does. It makes the past live and breathe. I grew up in Tile Hill with my mum working as a teaching assistant and my dad driving buses for the council, both of them showing me every day that public service matters. When I graduated from Warwick with my history degree in 2020, I was ready to give the next generation of kids what Mrs. Patterson had given me. I applied to Coventry University's PGCE programme that autumn, confident that my local knowledge and passion for the subject would make me a strong candidate. That's when I first heard the phrase that would follow me everywhere. There's no funding. The admissions officer explained that the government had cut bursaries for history teaching from £9,000 to £3,000 that year. We can only offer 12 places instead of the usual 20, she said, her voice apologetic but matter of fact. The funding just isn't there anymore. It sounded reasonable. Budgets get cut, priorities change, these things happen. I took a job as a cover supervisor at Whitley Academy and decided to wait and reapply the following year. In 2021, I contacted the University of Birmingham's School Direct programme. Same story, different institution. The admissions tutor was sympathetic but firm. Treasury spending rules mean teacher training allocations have been frozen. We'd love to take you, but there's simply no budget. She suggested I try teach first, so I did. They told me they were prioritising STEM subjects because that's where the government money was going. History just isn't a priority for funding right now, the recruitment officer said. There is no funding available for your subject area. I started to notice the pattern. Every door that closed used the same key phrase: no money, no budget, no funding available. It was always presented as a fact of nature, like saying there was no rain in the forecast. The people delivering the news seemed as frustrated as Yeed was, shrugging apologetically as though they were reporting on something beyond anyone's control. That changed one afternoon when I was walking past the old Coventry Teacher Training Centre on Fletchamstead Highway. The building was empty but intact, with teacher training rooms available signs still visible through dusty windows. The car park was clear, the structure sound, the classrooms ready. I stood there staring at it, thinking about all the conversations I'd had about missing money and absent budgets. The building existed, the rooms existed, the desks and whiteboards were still there behind the glass. A few weeks later, I was at the job centre dealing with paperwork and got talking to three other people in the queue. All history graduates from different universities, all wanting to teach, all turned away from training programmes for the same reason I had been. We stood there, four qualified people who wanted to do exactly the work that schools across Coventry were crying out for, and we'd all been told the same thing. There was no money to train us. That's when it clicked. The teachers existed, we were standing right there. The buildings existed, I'd seen the empty training centre with my own eyes. The students existed, I worked with them every day at Whitley Academy, watching unqualified cover supervisors like me struggle to give them the education they deserved. The materials existed, the curriculum existed, the need definitely existed. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? I started to understand that the government I'd been hearing about in all those conversations, the one that couldn't find the funding, was the same government that prints the notes and mints the coins. They weren't hunting through their pockets for loose change. They weren't waiting for someone to donate the money from elsewhere. When the Department for Education told Coventry University there wasn't enough funding for 20 teacher training places, they were describing a choice, not a shortage. The real question was never whether the money existed. Money is just numbers on a computer screen when you're the institution that controls the computer. The real questions were, did the people exist who wanted to train as teachers? Yes. Did the buildings exist where they could be trained? Yes. Did the schools exist that needed qualified history teachers? Yes. Did the students exist who would benefit from having those teachers? Yes. Every single resource that mattered was sitting there ready. The only thing missing was the political decision to connect them. Someone in Westminster had looked at all those resources, the eager graduates, the empty training centres, the understaffed schools, the students who needed better history teaching, and decided not to spend the money that would bring them together. That wasn't an accounting problem, that was a choice. I'm still here, still working as a cover supervisor, still watching. But I hear the excuses differently now. When someone tells me there's no budget for something, I think about that empty building on Fletchamstead Highway and the history graduates I met at the job centre. I think about Mrs. Patterson and what she could have done with proper funding and support. I think about the kids in my classes who deserve qualified teachers, not just someone filling gaps in the timetable. The phrase, "there is no funding," used to sound like a fact. Now it sounds like a political choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The government that issues the currency told me it couldn't find enough of that currency to train the teachers who were standing right there, ready to work. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it where it was needed most. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where the people and the need exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard isn't bare, it's locked, and someone chose not to use the key.
What Rhea experienced has a name, cherry picking. This technique involves selecting rare examples where spending supposedly failed to justify never spending again, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. It's like a doctor refusing to prescribe antibiotics because one patient somewhere once had a bad reaction, while ignoring millions of successful treatments. In education, cherry-picking works by highlighting every training program that didn't achieve perfect outcomes while ignoring the decades of evidence showing what happens when teachers are properly funded and trained. When Rhea was told there was no money for history teacher training, officials could point to some struggling school somewhere as proof that teacher spending doesn't work. They never mentioned the schools that transformed when they got the qualified teachers they needed. The objection Rhea faced was typical. Look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. This treats the household budget analogy as fact. Countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece, the standard example, used the euro. It did not issue its own currency. Nordic countries with large public sectors have fewer debt crises, not more. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Rhea's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Coventry South ranks 236 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 5. The constituency has 1,014 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £20.6 million according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.